right. Well, good morning, LifePoint Church. Man, thank you all so much yet again for coming and hanging out with us here on LifePoint Online. Man, it means the world to us that you choose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship. So, man, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. If this is your first time checking out LifePoint, man, you're our honored guest. We're so thankful that you're here. So just hang out, connect with people if you want in the comment section. And we'd love to get to know you better and connect with you. So drop us a direct message or an email or just a comment. We want to get to know you a little bit. And man, that would be awesome. If this isn't your first time to LifePoint Church and you call LifePoint Church home, or you're just kind of a regular attender from time to time, man, welcome back. Thanks for being here. And as I say each week, if you're watching live here on Facebook, man, go ahead and get that watch party going. Invite your friends, your family, your enemies, whoever. Just invite everybody. Whether you're watching live or after the fact on YouTube, get in that comment section. Connect with each other. Ask questions. Encourage each other. Man, we are a community. We are a family. And we exist to do life together. So make sure you get in that comment section and connect with one another this morning. But today, we are in the fifth week and the final week of our message series called Seasons. And what we've been doing in this series is we're discussing many of the different seasons of life that we go through and how each one of them, whether challenging, difficult, or great, all make an impact on our lives and who we are, and it helps us to fully understand and appreciate life. We talk about how God is using these different seasons that we encounter and that we go through as a way to make us more like Him, to draw us closer to Him, and it leads us to being more of who God has created us to be. And our key verse for this series has been Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, where we see clearly that there is a season for everything. Check it out. King Solomon wrote this. He said, "For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven," which basically lets us know right out the gate that in this thing called life, we're pretty much going to experience it all. We can be prepared to face the good, the bad, and the ugly. Life is full of different seasons. And again, God uses those seasons to make us stronger, to build our faith, to encourage us, and to prepare us for what it is that He has planned for our life. And so far in this series, we've talked about seasons of change. We've talked about seasons of hurt, seasons of doubt. Last week, we talked about seasons of joy. And if you missed any of those messages, you can go back and check them out on here on Facebook or on our website or on our YouTube page. You can go check those out. But today, as we wrap this series up, we're going to be focusing in on and talking about a season of life that is really so important for us. It's important for our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. It's a season that we, again, like joy, we all want. But for whatever reason, with this specific season, we just kind of push it away. It's like we don't have time for it. And that we just can't figure out how to get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about seasons of rest. And I think one of the reasons that this is difficult, that entering a season of rest is challenging, because the world that we live in is, man, it's all about being on the go, right? We are constantly pushed to work harder, work faster, right? Do more, be more productive, create more, and to make more money, right? It's like go, go, go. Personally, we're expected to be like great at all of these things all at the same time, right? To be great employees, great spouses, great parents, great students, great friends, right? Great members and productive members of our community. We're supposed to be, you know, great followers of Jesus. We're supposed to be great church members and volunteers and servants, and we're always on the go, and we're rushing around trying to do all these things, and rest just doesn't seem to fit into our agenda, right? Like how many times does rest actually make its way on your to-do list? Rest is something that we need, but we feel we don't have time for it. And this has been the case for me personally for the majority of my adult life. Most recently, up till about a year and a half ago, I was swamped. Man, I was so overwhelmed. Man, I was a leader, a husband, a father, a friend, a coach, a mentor. I was working as the director of a psychiatric residential treatment facility where I was on call 24/7. And I was the pastor of this church, leading us into a move from one location to another and merging with another congregation. Needless to say that I was way overwhelmed, and rest just really wasn't an option. Well, it was an option, but I didn't see it as an option because I was so focused on the task at hand and all the different hats that I needed to wear. And I wasn't entering into seasons of rest. And you want to know what the result was? The result was that I began to experience anxiety for the first time. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. My thoughts were constantly negative and would quickly spiral out of control. I had a short fuse and a short temper, specifically with things that like didn't matter, like these little bitty stupid frustrators, like, you know, Starbucks drive-thrus or you know, whatever it may be. As a husband and father, I was distant. I wasn't being the husband and father that I needed to be. I didn't have the physical, mental, emotional capacity to do any type of self-reflection. Therefore, I wasn't really growing or developing. And ultimately, my relationship with God, it was anything but healthy. And it was primarily because I didn't allow myself to rest. I didn't put an emphasis on rest. And it wasn't until I made some pretty big decisions in life, like leaving my job at the residential facility and beginning to implement rest and solitude strategically into my life. It wasn't until then that I actually began to breathe again. It wasn't until then until I was actually able to truly experience the peace that God gives us and what true rest was really like. And the result of doing that, man, I began to hear God's voice more clearly. I was able to trust Him in ways that I never could before and follow Him. I was able to connect with Him on a deeper level. I was able to be a better parent, a better father, and a better spouse, more connected, more invested. I was physically and am physically healthier than I was a few years back. And ultimately, my relationship with God has drastically improved, and I am happier than I've ever been. And I don't say all those things to brag at all, but I share those things to let you know how important rest can be in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. It is so important. And it's because rest is vital. It's vital and critical to our overall life experience and our health and our spiritual well-being. Rest is critical for our relationship with God. You see, if we are going to be able to love and live like Jesus, which is what all Christ followers are called to do. If we're going to live and love like Jesus, rest is a must. If you're going to be on mission, right, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, being and doing all that God has created you to be and do, you have to be able to enter into seasons of rest. I can't stress it enough. Rest is a non-negotiable. Rest is a must. You see, throughout Scripture, we clearly see how God places this importance on rest. So much so that in the very beginning of his word, right, in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God modeled rest for us. God himself modeled rest. He showed us what we needed to do. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read this. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. After all of his work, after creating the world, it says God rested. Now let me ask you this. Do you really think that God needed to rest? Do you think God was tired and exhausted? I don't believe that. I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, he's God. But I think he rested as a way to show us how important it is in our lives. God was modeling for us rest because he wanted us to follow his lead in that, because it is so critical. God knows that there are seasons of work. There's seasons of grind, man, where we got to be after it. And we got to get after it hard, right? God knows that. But he also is showing us that while that is the case, while you need to work hard, there are also seasons and a time for rest. And typically what it looks like is, you know, we have this season of work and activity and service and action, and then that's followed by a season of rest. And then after that season of rest, we're revitalized, right? And we're more equipped to do the things that God wants us to do. And so when God leads us into that next stage of work and grind and action and service, we're equipped for it. We're ready for it. We're ready to push through and push hard and be productive. And then at the end of that, we have another season of rest. And the cycle, the beautiful cycle, continues. Rest is so important. You know, as I was originally planning and preparing for this message, at this point, I was going to then transition into talking about rest versus busyness, right? Like living a life of rest versus living a life of hurriedness. And we're gonna talk about that at some point in time, probably in the near future. But today, I feel like there's some other things when it relates to rest that we need to talk about. With the recent events that are currently unfolding right before our very eyes, with the ongoing hate and racism that continues to be perpetrated against people of color, specifically our Black community in this country. With the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia back in February, and Breonna Taylor here in Louisville, Kentucky in March, and then just this past Monday, the just gruesome, disgusting murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. On Monday, man, it's been devastating. And with the protests that have transpired for the past 3 to 4 days, with all of that going on, man, I've entered into a season of hurt, and I've entered into a season of unrest. I have to be honest with you all that my heart is, my spirit and my soul is not at rest. My heart is broken over the events that we've been watching. My heart is broken for the friends and family of not only these three victims, but all the victims that we've seen over the years. Man, my heart is crushed for our city. My heart is devastated and destroyed by the fact that humans, here in 2020, humans continue to be devalued, mistreated, abused, criminalized, and even murdered simply because of the color of their skin. It's devastating. And when I sit back and think about rest, I have to admit as your pastor that my soul has not been at rest this week. I've not experienced rest, but rather unrest. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know there are a lot of you out there that feel the same way. And if for some reason you're not absolutely crushed by what you're watching and experiencing and what's taking place in our country right now, if that doesn't just destroy you, then you really need to step back and ask yourself why. Especially if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. You need to step back and ask why. And you need to ask God to do a new work in you and for him to right the ship of your heart, because what continues to take place in our country today, man, it's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And we as the church, as followers of Jesus, man, we cannot sit back and stay silent. We can't. That's not what we're called to do. We need to follow the lead of Jesus. And we need to stand up and we need to speak out against anything that contradicts the truth. And the truth is that we are all God's beautiful creation. Every single one of us. We are God's handiwork. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are created anew in Christ Jesus. We were created in the image of God. Therefore, every single one of us, every single one of us are image bearers of God. Every color, every ethnicity, every nationality, every single one of us are made in the image of God. And we need to be treated as such, as image bearers of God, because we are precious to him. Precious to him. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul further drove this point home when he said this. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, or some versions say Gentile. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Jesus. We are his creation. We are his masterpiece, right? We are made in his image, and we all need to be treated as such. And anyone or anything or any system that undermines that truth, man, we've got to stand up and speak out against. We've got to be bold. Yet at the same time, we need to do so with love, grace, compassion, but also with passion and conviction. We got to stand up for truth, which right now is standing up for change. But in order for us to actually do that, to be productive and successful with that, and do so in a way that both honors and glorifies God, we first have to make sure that we find rest, personal rest. And more specifically, we need to find rest for our souls. Got to find rest for our souls. But honestly, man, with everything that's going on, right, it's tough. It's tough to find rest, man. We're in this season of change because of the COVID pandemic, right? Now we're in the season of hurt because of the racism that we either witness or experience. Still to this day, it continues. And it's so hard in the midst of all this to find rest. It's challenging, especially rest for our souls. Man, because people are broken. People are hurting. Man, there's people that I know that I've talked to that, man, they're afraid for their kids to even go outside and walk down the street. They're afraid for their spouses to drive to work. It's a tough time right now. People are feeling a ton of different emotions and feelings and fears, and they're angry, and rightfully so. And as a result, rest, man, rest right now seems like this impossible fantasy. But the reality is it doesn't have to be. Rest is there for the taking. We just have to understand that the kind of rest that we need right now, in moments and times like this, is not just physical rest, which we need, but most importantly, we need soul rest. And the rest of our soul only comes in a connected relationship with God. Because God, our God, is a God of rest. We need to understand that and claim that truth, that our God is a God of rest. He created rest, and he modeled it for us. And he didn't rest for himself. He rested for us to show us how important rest is, and that we can actually access seasons of rest. So if you want to be effective, right? If you want to be productive in bringing about change, if you want to go out and present the truth about Jesus, right? Share the gospel message with everyone that you know. If you want to live and love like Jesus, then we need to find rest for our souls. We've got to take hold of it. We've got to find that rest that we so desperately need. And this just isn't my thoughts, right? This just isn't Andy talking that we need to find rest. This is God's word. And in God's word, we clearly see that soul rest, again, only comes when we're connected to God, right? When we're connected to the true vine, that's when we're able to find rest. So for the rest of our time this morning, I just simply want to share a few passages of scripture with you that reminds us that we can have rest and who that rest is found in. And as I read these passages of scripture, I'm not going to do a lot of, you know, I'm not going to break them down. We're not going to kind of explore them and dive into them right now. I want you to sit in and listen to these verses. And I want you then to go, and I want you to go back through and just kind of just think through them this week. Think through them today or tomorrow or throughout the week. Think through them, read through it, meditate. Meditate on them. And I want you to pray through these verses. And I want you to ultimately allow God to speak this truth into your heart, for you to claim this truth in your own life. So I'm going to read these. And again, I just want you just to kind of sit in it and just be in it. So here we go. In Psalms 23, right? One of the most famous passages of scripture, Psalms 23, 1 through 4, David wrote this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." It's this picture of rest. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," which many of us might feel that we are right now, "even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Then in Exodus chapter 33, we see that God is telling Moses to lead his people into the land that he had promised. And so Moses is kind of having this conversation and this interaction with God. And he said, "God, you're telling me to lead these people, right? Lead them into the promised land. But you've yet to tell me who's going to go with me. You haven't told me who you're sending with me to lead these people." And check out what God says to him. Again, Exodus 33, verse 14. And he said, God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. He said, my presence is who's going to go with you. I'm going with you, Moses, and I'm going to give you rest. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, the prophet Isaiah said this about God. He said, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Those who trust in the Lord will be given new strength. Because those who trust in the Lord will find rest for their souls. No longer tired, no longer weak or powerless or weary, but they will be given new strength. Be lifted high on wings like eagles, because their soul will be at rest. And finally, my favorite of them all, and straight from the mouth of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus says this about rest. And he's saying this to each and every one of us this morning that is longing for rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." "Come to me," Jesus said, "all who are heavy burdened, all who are tired, all who are hurting, all who feel this spirit of unrest right now." He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest for your soul." You see, God wants you to have rest. He wants you to have rest for your soul, and you can have it. You can truly experience and remain in this season of rest. Even amidst seasons of change and seasons of hurt and seasons of doubt, when we are connected to God, He goes with us, and He will give us rest for our souls. We'll be able to persevere and make it through because of His strength and because of the rest that we have. And that's for all of us. Everyone who claims the name of Jesus, who has confessed and believed and is connected to God, we all can have this soul rest, because God's rest is for all of His people. It's for all of His people. I want to conclude with this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. It tells us this: "So there is this special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did in creating the world." Then he says, "So let us do our best to enter that rest." Let us do our best to enter that rest. Man, I know things are super heavy right now, and they're dark right now. It's challenging, man. I am crushed to a point that I have not been in a long time, if ever. But I also know that there are so many people out there that are crushed on a totally different level than I am, on a much greater level, because they are the ones that are actually experiencing, not just witnessing, but experiencing the hate and the racism that is going on in our country. And it's heavy times, and people are hurt. People are tired. I'm tired. It's difficult. But understand this: we still have hope. We have hope. I have hope. And you can have hope, because we know that God is still God. God is still in control of all things, and we know that God is still on the throne. We can have hope in knowing that Jesus has already claimed the ultimate victory for us. I mean, spoiler alert, we win in the end. And because of that fact, Jesus will make all things right. He will make things right again. But in the meantime, while we wait on that, we've got to remember that there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. That He leads us beside still waters, into green pastures to rest. That He lifts us high, gives us new strength on wings like eagles. And that He says, "All who come to me will have rest for your soul." Because when you're connected to God, when you're truly connected to Him, He extends to you His rest. So let us do our very best to enter that rest today. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for your truth. I thank you despite the hurt and the pain and the confusion and the fear and the anger that many of us are experiencing, that we know that you are still good, and that you are still holy, and that you are still in control of all things, and that you offer us peace, and you give us your rest. And God, I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's listening this morning, or whenever they're watching, God, that you would speak truth over them, that you would extend to them your rest. If they're tired, if they're hurt, if they're fearful, if they're angry, whatever they're experiencing, God, I pray that you would give them rest. Give them peace. Give them clarity so that then they can go and do your will and your work and what you're leading and calling them to do. God, I pray for our country right now, Lord, with everything that's going on. God, I pray that you would bring justice and that you would bring peace and that you would bring change. And God, that you would use us to do that and that we would be bold enough to stand up in your love and in your grace, but with your passion and conviction, Lord, and speak up for truth. Lord, to use this as a platform to share your name because you are good and you are holy. God, I pray for your rest. I pray for myself and for every single person that's watching, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And in your name we pray, amen. Man, again, thank you all so much for tuning in and being here with us this morning or for watching whenever you're watching. Man, if this is your first time checking out LifePoint Church, again, as I said earlier, you're our honored guest, man. We're so glad that you're here with us. And if you want more information, you can drop us a comment right now, or you can send us a direct message, or you can go to our website, find my email address. You can send me an email. And we'd love to talk with you and give you more information about LifePoint, answer any questions that you may have. Man, we're about that. But if you also, whether you're the first time or you've been a LifePoint many a times, but man, you're really wrestling with where you're at with your relationship and connection with God. Like, you long to have rest, but you don't really know that you're really connected to Jesus. And if that's the case, man, let me know. Reach out. No shame. Man, we just want to talk with you. We want to help you to lead you on in this relationship with God and to help you connect with him like never before. So feel free to reach out again in those same ways, a direct message or an email or a comment. If you're comfortable, man, we'll get in touch with you. Also, if you call LifePoint Church home, or you just want to worship and give in this way, you can still give your tithes and your offerings. And you can do that by going to our website. It's lpc502.com. If you go there, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Up at the top right-hand corner, you click give. Sorry, you click that, takes you to that safe and secure location, and you can give there. And however you choose to give, whether it's be that way or you can still mail a check in, and we just want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving, faithful in giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with, and we want to continue to use that to reach more people and to serve and love and help more people within our community. So we encourage you to get in on that. Finally, as I've kind of been saying the past few weeks, we want to remind you of our reopen date that we are so excited about. It's June 21st, so it's just a few weeks away. We're getting closer and closer to that date. So, man, I cannot wait to see you all again. And know that our team is getting ready. We're preparing. We're trying to gather all the things that we need to do to be able to open safely and responsibly. And so we're so excited about that. So be on the lookout on all of our social platforms and on our website for more information in the coming weeks about that. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us. We love you. If you're interested in getting in a life group, hit up Daniel Henderson. You can I'll drop his email in the comment section. And and yeah, get in touch with him and get into a life group, begin to connect. We're doing them online, but soon we're going to be able to do them in person again. So make sure you connect in that way. And man, again, thanks for being here. I love you guys. Stay strong. If you need to reach out, if you need to vent, if you need to cry, if you need to ask questions, if you need to wrestle with anything, man, give me a shout. I'm here for you. I love you guys. And I just want to be an ear of encouragement. So, man, thank you all. And we will see you guys next week. Love you all.